When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
We would like to begin this episode by acknowledging the traditional custodians of the land in Los Angeles that we are recording on, the Keech, Chumash, and Tongva people, as well as paying our respects to their elders, past and present.
Salmon or Dolly, threw a great party, we all drank Bacardi, it got kinda gnarly. We're light as a feather, we're tougher than leather, together we're weirder, we're weirder together.
Live on Monday from Ben Lee's midlife crisis.
Yeah,
I'm in it, man.
Yeah, it's your age. You're that just goes to show how young you are.
And it's literally like at 45. It's like on schedule. I'm going through existential re-examining of my approach to various things.
You know, a lot of things come to mind.
They really do. Like, I think. Oh, yeah. What were you going to say?
Oh, no. I just think of all the things that inspire when you're going through something like that. You always pull out lyrics and, you know, in your mind, like what's going to kind of inspire you.
Yeah. I don't know what's going to, survival is inspiring me. I'm just sort of in my headspace. I think, I don't know, it was weird at all. It really all started when I was going through all these photo albums.
Yeah.
Because we used to do, like a lot of parents, I think we do like one album a year from sort of iPhoto, you know, from the collection and of all the family and where everything's at and everything. And we'd fallen off. I mean, I think a lot of people fell off in the pandemic because it just felt like we were all running from our present rather than trying to remember.
I don't know if I want to make a book about myself in my house. But
so we were a few years behind and I was like, let's just do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I hit 2021, the year we spent in Australia at the height of the pandemic. And I found it so emotional.
I was weeping. I know. Sweet when you called your mom.
I know. Because I felt for my mom because my mom doesn't get to see us or the kids as much as, you know, a grandma would like to normally. And we went out to Australia and it was also promising. And then like 3 or 4 months, or more like 6 months maybe into our trip, the Delta wave like fully invaded Australia and suddenly Australia was in a harder lockdown than we'd been in LA. And it was like, it was just this like almost like a tragic comedy of like she had access to her grandkids, but like suddenly wasn't able to, was meeting them in neutral spaces in a park. Anyway, I just felt bad for her. And I called her today and I was just like, I don't know. I felt for her. I'm going through, I think this is what happens when you go through these sort of weird psychological shamanic breakdowns, breakthroughs, where you feel your compassion rise.
Yeah.
And I just suddenly felt for my mom, you know, I just felt for her.
That's nice.
Yeah.
She's doing great.
Yeah, she is doing great. And we're all doing great, but it's like, it's so yeah, I'm just sort of, and also I think that I went into this year, the beautiful babies heard me say it. Look, if you state your intention to the beautiful babies, it's like speaking it to the Oracle of Delphi. Like it is a, it's got power. And I said, I want to toughen up. I want to have my a sturdiness to myself. And you know, when you do that, you beckon on challenges. So
yeah,
I've been in it.
Well, I'm glad our friend Malik hooked you up with that. Whether, I mean, who knows about astrology, whatever, but you have this daily astrology that is eerily accurate.
Dude,
I don't know.
The Pattern. It's app amazing. Called The Pattern. And it is, you put in your birth time and place and everything. And
it's good.
I've never felt such accurate prompts. But perhaps I'm just going through a psychotic break and I'm projecting, you know what I mean? Because like you get delusional also when you're going through heightened emotional
Absolutely.
Things.
Absolutely. Well, you're not, I'm checking, I'm making sure you're not getting delusional.
No,
you're not.
I'm pretty grounded. I mean, I'm pretty like, I don't know, I'm just in it.
Yeah.
I'm just in it.
I know.
But it's funny, we started watching last night Fitzcarraldo,
yes,
by Werner Herzog, which is
Werner.
Yeah, it's such a, there is no movie that better exemplifies the madness, the good and the bad of the male artist and their ego in a way, you know?
And maybe female.
I feel like women are not as insane. Maybe that's sexist. I just feel like men are particularly...
I switch a lot. Like, I'm like, men are from Mars, women are from Venus. What the fuck is that? But I'm like, we're all the same. But then at the same time, I do think just because women have babies historically, there's been a kind of difference in pushing what you do push and when you stop pushing, and maybe men push in a different way.
Well, I think also men want to dominate nature. That is something that's a very patriarchal value. Like, men love it. Men love to conquer nature. Women do seem for, I don't know, this may be totally not true, but it feels like women like the periods and everything. Like, there's an enforced connection to the cycles of nature that men don't have.
Yeah, it probably you're right. Yeah, Fitzcarraldo.
Yeah, what do you think about? So
holy shite.
So I got you Herzog's memoir.
Yeah.
For Christmas. Yeah. That was one of your presents, which I sort of, I guess I'd wrongly thought you were more familiar with his work.
Well,
than you were.
I am, like, I know, of course I know, not of course, but I know who he is, and I've seen My Best Fiend, and I've seen, you know, Grizzly Man, but I thought I had seen all his movies. Wait, My Best Fiend was about the making of,
it's just about his relationship with Klaus Kinski.
Yeah.
Amazing. So it covers a lot of Fitzcarraldo. Like, you'll be seeing a lot of familiar footage and locations.
But I never saw his non-documentary movies, and wow, every shot. Like, we were saying how Wes Anderson, of course, is known for extraordinary sets, beautiful, you know, looking movies, from a level that is just beyond perfection. But Werner Herzog's sets are just stunning, but just also, what did you say last night? They also have a...
Well, they're passionate. Like, that's the thing that I find that some filmmakers that are really good at aesthetics, like Kubrick and Wes Anderson, they can be cold.
Yeah.
You know, it can be really hard to be that much a master of the visual and also be connected to your emotions. Because I think emotions are innately messy.
Yeah, maybe like Fellini does it and, you know, the Japanese master.
Kurosawa.
They can. But this was, wow. I mean, I thought of a whole, I'm going to do a new series of paintings soon. And we had a really good idea, but I was so inspired by...
We're going to finish it tonight.
I know. And it's amazing.
One of the things that I think is really interesting about this movie, so for people that don't know about Fitzcarraldo, it's about a man who has a vision of building an opera house in, basically in, is it in Iquitos?
In Peru. Peru or Brazil? No, it's Peru.
Yeah, I think it's Peru. The Peruvian Amazon.
Yes.
In Peru. And it's about the singularity and just madness of this vision and how far a human being will go. And it's got really, this movie, Herzog is so interesting overall because there's sort of no morality in his art. Like, he's not interested in an enforced morality. He's interested in how human beings are and what they do. So some of the ideas he brings up about the way humans push themselves and dominate nature and others. And, you know, it does have things to say about like colonialism and about sort of the absurdity of the way the conquering mind wants to push through. But there's also a weird heroism to it. And I think that is really like a movie made nowadays about these subjects would have a clear moral thread to it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Because he's not saying the missionaries coming in were bad, that they wanted to dominate the people who lived there and make them Christian.
But he is saying they're a little absurd.
Who?
The missionaries.
Yeah. No, he's saying they're a little absurd. But yeah, it's not like, it's not this. Yeah. It's so amazing. I mean, the only character that was odd was the female lead, who's this woman. You have Klaus Kinski, who's mental, you know, in real life and in this role. And
he's got like, do you think like Joaquin is like the closest thing to Klaus Kinski in that like he always looks like he's fully in the midst of a breakdown.
Like what you're going through right now.
Like it's 24 hours a day.
24/7. But this woman is this beautiful actress. It's 1982, but it takes place maybe the teens, like 1913. I don't know when it takes place, like in the early 1900s. And she's, they're living in the biggest city in wherever the city in Peru is, I suppose. And she is
the madam of a brothel.
Yeah. But she's also sort of has a really, you know, a hooked up life because, but she's so into Klaus Kinski. I guess it makes sense if she's a madam. I thought at first she was just like a well to do woman.
Yeah.
But she's unwaveringly supportive of him, which is sort of, I feel like as a director, I would have just said to her a couple of hints of like, this guy's annoying as fuck or something, or you're a little annoyed when he keeps cutting out. But she's support, like, so for example, she has a beautiful house with people taking care of her. And it's like, you know, and he chooses to stay in a sort of like a tree house practically with a lot of children. He plays opera on this beautiful like wind up thing. And the children surround his funny four-poster bed out in the, like a tree house in the woods.
And he believes that the children are his audience, that they actually understand
the
opera.
Yeah, children do.
They do.
I mean, they say if you run stuff by a kid, this old like Qigong teacher I had at Omega Institute, which I went to like for 2 days, but he was saying when kids get bored or lose interest, that means, you know, you're not doing something right. I mean, I don't believe in this 100%. I mean, you can't, you know.
Because not all work is for children.
You're not going to read, you know, the glass bead game by Herman Hesse.
Yeah, you can't go like Dostoevsky, Crime and Punishment. It's a real dud. The 4-year-old didn't like it.
Run away, but anyway, but she's like, goes and she's like, oh, isn't this, like, it's like she has no critique of his lifestyle. But, you know, I guess that's what a man wants and hopes for.
Yeah, there's, for sure. But I think Herzog, my impression is that the women in his life have been kind of like supportive rocks for him.
Okay. I mean, that line, I was sort of like reading, I was trying to read, my friend told me something about insomnia, just like get out of bed and do something gentle. And so I was like, I'm going to just read this book. And then I was like, but I don't really, do I care about this? But then the next morning I had highlighted a bunch of stuff. And what did he say about women? It was
He
cool.
basically said like his life would have been not worth living without women.
Yeah.
Like they were.
And I like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know what his love life. I mean, his childhood, boy, oh boy.
Yeah.
Like in a small town in Germany in the mountains with no food and no heat and practically no clothes, like freezing, you know, just starving, like in the I guess it was the 40s. How old is he? Yeah, 40s.
I'm not sure. Yeah.
The 40s. He's like probably my mom's age.
Do you remember we sat in front of him at Spring Breakers at the premiere?
He's
been in some of Harmony's films.
Oh my God. I know that one of the guys from Spring Breakers was in front of us.
I was sitting next to the ATL twins.
Yeah. Were you freaking out that he was behind us?
Yeah, but I've seen him around. Like I've seen
Where
him
does at, he live?
He lives around here somewhere.
What?
Because there's a famous short film. I've seen him at the Chateau. Mm-hmm. And there's a famous short film, a little animated thing about Joaquin flipped his car.
Oh yeah.
On the edge of Mulholland,
yes,
and Werner
yeah.
Herzog found him and pulled, and they had this kind of intense moment together.
Yeah.
And there's a moment made out of a little animation made out of an interview. I guess,
I love those. Remember the one what's the one about the baseball
hitting
player?
Hitting a no hitter. The guy took acid. And,
oh, that's a good one. If you ever want to see, what's it called? The no hitter.
Yeah.
It's a short film. And it's one of those animated ones where they take someone's dialogue, but then they do an animation. Those are good.
Totally. And how crazy. Like, so we're watching Fitzcarraldo. I like had a couple puffs on a joint, was relaxing. The rain is pounding, but we're feeling very cozy. We got the heat on. And then you go into the bedroom and it was a mixture. It wasn't just a scream. It was a scream and a sigh of defeat.
I screamed?
You just like, ah! Like you just sort of made this sound. And I come in and there is no joke. Like 2 to 3 inches of water
coming in our
my
bedroom,
closet, coming into the bedroom.
Well, you see, every year when the rain season happens and it's torrential, like LA's got this like season that's torrential, we put sandbags down because our pool is so beautiful. But the we built this house, whatever. It's a long story.
Children built it. I'm kidding.
But the one grading of the, you know, this.
Hey, look, it's natural. You have a pool, you grade a slope down to the bedrooms from the swimming pool. <It's>
like, so usually it's like it works out. But this year, that was the side of like, oh, it didn't. We've had the sandbags, whatever.
Yeah, we saw it, but we were soaking. And it's so funny. I was thinking about how you are the best person to hang around with during an emergency.
Yeah,
you're amazing.
Yeah. Well, like,
I get so stressed in an emergency. I'm like forecasting that, like, oh, we're going to have to sell the house. We're going to have the structure of it's like being worn through by the water. And you're just like getting towels, sopping it all up, telling me where to put the sandbags. And you were right.
I'm not unaware of, you know, all the stuff to do to a house when you own a house. But in the eye of the storm, I'm very clear-headed.
I know.
Literal storm.
Together we're weirder, we're weirder together.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
I know I have two memories. One of us being in that tuk-tuk in India, in that sort of wild wind and rainstorm, and you just laughing. And then the other one when Goldie fell off a couch when she was little. And I was like, oh my God, what do we do? My kid fell. She hit her head. And you were just like, you put her on your lap. You're like, Goldie, you're okay. You're okay. And you calmed her down. You were incredible.
Yeah. I panic in between.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was saying today, that I think your natural state, like the state you like to live in, is a state of emergency. Like Bjork. State of emergency, that's where I want to be. And I think when you finally get in one, you're like, I am at home. I know exactly what to do here.
I know. It's a shame because I'm cool as a cucumber for real, deep down. Like when I have found myself deep inside, it's very calm. But I don't get there like often, you know?
Yeah.
But that's okay. So Taylor Swift and I didn't watch any of the Grammys, but the one.
But I feel like you're going to give a take on it.
The one moment I saw that I thought was so sweet before the red carpet, Lana Del Rey and Taylor Swift were. They have this moment that they've been showing on.
Oh, that she was like helping her with her hair or
yeah,
something?
Yeah, and it was just the way that Taylor Swift was looking at her saying, are you okay? You ready? You ready? Like she was really taking care of her. And also just in a, I don't know, some really just two beautiful women, like one taking care of the other. It's just so beautiful.
Totally.
Yeah, it was really nice. And I'm not like in the Swiftie craze, just for some reason. I don't know. Not that I've avoided it, like it's a good thing.
I heard really mixed responses pitching. You know how she like promoted her?
Yeah.
She promoted her new record in her speech.
Yeah.
I've heard it's caused a lot of like, some people were into it and some people were just like, take a moment. Like you're the most publicized, most popular star in the world. You can have a moment of just gratitude and simplicity. It doesn't all have to be promoting the next project. But,
well, yeah,
you know,
that's what you were saying.
But we're all talking about it.
Well, no, we were talking about her as one does because it's been such a big moment with her for a few years. And you were like, I admire her sort of business sense. And,
oh, she's the greatest CEO of all time.
Yeah, I mean, so she just can't take that hat off, I guess. But
yeah.
If you're going to be something, you know, someone would have to have said to her before, like, actually free. But she's good. The branding, we were saying, like, You know, she doesn't purposefully, she doesn't do a lot of high level designers. She could do whatever she wants.
Yeah, yeah.
But she's sort of dressing the way she's being the everyday girl.
Yeah.
But this
America's sweetheart.
America's sweet. But, you know, so for her to be coutured out, it would be change her look. But this would have been, yeah, and that would have been better for her branding, probably not to do that.
Who were your, like, were there like idols at the time when you were a teenager, when you were a little kid? Like, who were the idols, like pop idols?
When I was how old? Like, in the
70s? I don't know, like, say 10 or 11. So, like, 81. Like,
I mean, I liked the Go-Go's. I loved, who were the idols? I mean,
because I was like pre Madonna.
Yeah, I loved the Police. Yeah. Yeah, I liked very, it's funny, I always thought I was so alternative, but I really, when I look back, I'm like, oh, I liked all the top.
Yeah, it was just they were pretty good then.
Yeah, I mean, who did I love Brooke Shields. I idolized Brooke Shields. Who's some, the French marine biologist,
Jacques Cousteau?
Yes.
Oh, cool. That was an unexpected answer.
Love Jacques Cousteau. Cool. What guys did I love? Oh, I loved, because of Bugsy Malone, I loved Scott Baio.
He was an idol, wasn't he?
Yeah,
he
became like a Republican womanizer.
Because I'm 8 years younger, like for me it was like Michael Jackson was just the be-all and end-all.
Off the Wall.
Yeah.
I'm so old. That was I was pre-Thriller, but Off the Wall was just, I mean, PYT, I Want to Love You, PYT.
Yeah.
Great cut. Yeah, who else? I mean, and then older, it became all the MTV, Prince. And
Duran, all that.
I can't, yeah.
Monday, 5th of February today, this will come out tomorrow, but I always like to just spare one little moment for it is the anniversary of the first ever Noise Addict gig supporting Sonic Youth in Sydney at Selena's. And it's, I always like to just remember it because it symbolized so much about how, just like how unexpected and how mind-blowing and how amazing my career has been. I don't know, I call it Thurston Moore Appreciation Day because he got Noise Addict up on stage and my strap broke and he came out and he introduced us as like, this is the real Sonic Youth. And I know it's funny. I always, there's very few, like even birthdays, like I'm not that, I mean, I like my birthday and death days, like I'm not that attached to it, but this day, it felt like in a way it was like my artistic birth.
Mm.
And so I always feel like very excited about it.
Yeah.
You know, I have it in my calendar. I don't know. Such a big day to be like 14 and to catch a vision of what a career could be like, making art and performing for people and how you can take risks and it can be spontaneous and sort of scary.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like still, I don't know, I'm still like obsessed with so many of the feelings that got ingrained in me on that night.
Yeah.
You know.
That's so good.
And I think particularly because I'm going through this whole
thing. Well, it's like have the talent and something's happening, but for somebody who you admire to appreciate it, that's the sort of golden ticket of something.
Yeah, it's the being scooped up type thing. Like we were talking about when you got the role in Camping and then I did the music on it. Like that really felt like Jenny and Lena kind of scooped us up a little bit into that project. And it's like so, I think just as an artist, you're so on your own.
Yeah.
Honing your craft or figuring out what your beliefs are.
And to be sort of, when I was being pitched by different publishers for this memoir.
Oh, you were the belle of the ball. That was amazing.
Yeah. And it wasn't just like, oh, we can make some money off of you. Because of course, cynically, that's part of it. But the way that they really got me and the, you know, proposal, like it was genuinely, they got this writing and they got me and my story. The proposal was, you know, saying parts of it or whatever. That was also my aversion of being kind of just recognized by a group of people.
I know, and it doesn't happen all the time, and it can't happen all the time. Like, yeah. These are these transcendent moments where there's like...
You're like, oh, you really like, yeah, well, you know, the Sally Field, you like me, you really like me, which is so incredible because that, what was so amazing about that moment when she won an Oscar and Sally Field saying, you like me, you like me. It's like, of course we like you. You're Sally Field. You're amazing and, you know, likable and talented. But everybody, you know, secretly doesn't know that, or they don't, sometimes don't think about themselves in that way, or just feel kind of quiet.
Oh, artists are also just so insecure. Like we, yeah. I think we often feel like imposters, or feel like we're not going to be able to sustain something.
Does everybody, or just artists?
Oh yeah, probably everybody. But we see it, you know. In
well,
our
we
world,
we
a lot
we
with
just
artists.
Make it a bit.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, exactly. We're like, I'm going to make this really part of my personality. Yeah. So, for sure. Yeah. Those moments are so beautiful when you do suddenly feel like seen.
Yeah.
And hey, you carry it with you forever.
We didn't lose our
power.
Light.
Oh,
we didn't lose our
power. We were
power.
Worried about losing power.
Last
we even
year
got the generator ready.
It was cold. Yeah. We got a little generator just so that we could, what would we do? Put a plug our computers in?
Yeah. But we did lose Wayne Kramer. And that is very sad this week. Wayne Kramer from the MC5, just a legendary musician, guitar player, icon, charitable dude, ran a charity called Jail Guitar Doors, where he got instruments to inmates in prison.
Amazing.
I only met him a couple times. One time when I was producing Jill Sobule's record, Nostalgia Kills, and we went to his studio and he'd played a guitar solo on, and then we hung out, and he was just a beautiful guy. I was saying to you that he was one of those people I met, and him and his wife worked together, and they had this cool office with his studio and then, like, you know, wherever they were running their publishing company or whatever from. And I was like, wow, this is a couple who are like alternative, but who are surviving long term within Hollywood and staying true to their values, but not, they're not selling out, but they're also not against anything. They yeah. were just there. And I just like, I was so touched, you know, and it was very, it was interesting this week, all the people who were moved by
that.
Yeah, just moved
well, you
by
have
him.
Also that really amazing footage of him doing that guitar solo, which was just like joyful. And also, so wait, is he a Detroit band? Like,
yeah, MC5.
Yeah.
Started with, you know, around the Stooges. Iggy posted something saying there would be no Stooges without the MC5.
Amazing.
I mean, they really kind of like, kind of invented punk.
Right. Wow.
You know what I mean? I guess you could say like the Velvet Underground first, but then MC5, Stooges. I mean, this is like a seminal thing, and just that, you know, he was a big activist, very political guy, but very compassionate. And, you know, it was just beautiful. I don't know. Beautiful guy. Like one of those people that I never heard anyone say, you know, he went to jail for drugs and he went through some issues earlier in his life, but he really, I know, he's just the kind of person who seemed to have, the way he ended the game was with just his integrity level, like fully intact, whatever he had to go through. It's, yeah, it was touching to get to connect with him. Yeah. Did you have other stuff? Did you have other notes of things you wanted to talk about?
My note was about Lana Del Rey and Taylor Swift.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. Well, I had a question. Yeah. We are contemplating, this is a contemplation. We talked about today the possibility of doing a Weirder Together Patreon.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess my question would be just like a brainstorming sesh, almost more like from the Beautiful Babies. Like, what would they want if there was going to be a bunch of exclusive content coming for like a $5 or a $10 a month supporting the show?
Yeah.
Like, what would they want?
A little bit of feedback of what
yeah,
you want. Yeah, like, I think it's good.
Is it like solo music sets for me? Is it an additional episode of the pod? Is it you going through telling your amazing stories, or going through talking through a scene in a movie that you were in? Or, I mean, there's so many things we could offer.
Yeah, we you know, I've got some things up my sleeve.
Oh, do you? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I was just thinking if anyone, if I guess
yeah,
the question is.
We're open to ideas, but I have some ideas myself.
Yeah. So the question is just, would you be excited about it? Like, drop us a DM on Insta or an email at weirdtogetherpod@gmail.com. Tell us if you'd be psyched about it. Like, should we do a Patreon? And if so, what kind of exclusive content you would like to see? Because we're always creating things, and it does kind of feel like
I think you should play a song and we should talk about it right now.
Oh, right now. But I don't know if the mic will pick up. It's just one mic and you got to be really close to it.
Okay.
But that's something we could do, taking inspiration from Roy Impressions. Like I could play a song.
Yeah, because your lives, your TikTok lives.
Yeah, I've been doing a lot of TikTok lives.
Oh, so good. They've been like... Man, like really feeding me.
Do you know what I was thinking I could do even like for bonus content for a Patreon? I could even do something like a set where I play a whole album from like Something to Remember Me By or Grandpa Wood or Breathing Tornadoes, like a set like that where I play an acoustic set of like all one record in a row or something.
Love it.
I don't know. Anyway, but you've got some ideas, secret ones you want to share with me later?
Yeah, we'll talk, talk shop.
Have your people call my people? Are we going to end this episode with a song? Is there going to be a song, or are you going to tell me after I finished editing and uploading it?
Oh, I mean, what comes to mind is like, you know, we can do an MC5 song or
we'll play that clip of that solo of Wayne Kramer soloing on the Jill Subiel song Nostalgia Kills.
Yeah.
Yeah. Find us on socials, Ben Lee Music.
Ione Guy Lee.
Yeah, or We Do Together Official here and there. And check in with us, rate and review the pod. We got fun things. We got stuff coming out next few weeks.
Oh,
there's
a
Cameron James single, a Ben Lee Shamir single, all kinds of things. So, stay in touch and we love you.
We love you, beautiful babies.
Turn off the lights, I'll pull down the screen and turn on the projector, and then we'll see how it used to be, you and me, you wear your striped shirt and desert boots. Again, funny how it comes back again. As we open the box and another appears, look at ourselves in a long row of mirrors. We get smaller and smaller with each passing year. We have to keep moving or die. Turn up the volume on the stereo, let's spin it around like so long ago, like when we kissed, and it goes like this. As we open the box and the music we hear, we look at ourselves in our long trail of tears. We get younger and younger with each passing year. Have to keep moving or die.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.